Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. On today's Saturday Scrawl, by request of the man himself, my episode will be about the front. To help you get in the mood, let's let Spike Pit tell you what he wants me to talk about.
Hi Larry, Spike Pit here. Just calling to say I'm enjoying your podcast, mate, and I've got a little bit of a request, if I may. Wondered if you could tell us a bit more about your experience of playing the role-playing game based on World War II, The Front, by Mark Hunt. Heard you ran it at GaryCon and just wondered your thoughts on the system. Would interest me. Cheers, mate. Take care and keep up the good work. Bye.
But before I talk about The Front, I had a call-in on Thursday's episode on imposter syndrome. A very reassuring call from Tim Shorts. Take it away, Tim.
Hey, Larry, this is Tim Shorts of Gothridge Manor. I just listened to your one episode about imposter syndrome. It's kind of interesting how prevalent that seems to be throughout gaming. It seems like people are surprised or very doubtful of people liking their stuff. And I always thought it was weird. I didn't even know what that was until a couple years ago. I had to go look it up. Everybody was talking about it. Hopefully you get through that, Larry, because you're definitely not an imposter. And especially, you put out good stuff. And hopefully you know that people appreciate your hard work and everything. So keep up the great work on all the medias that you do, your podcasting, your blog, your YouTube page, YouTube videos and everything. So take care, Larry. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Tim. That means a lot. And for me, imposter syndrome, I've experienced that off and on throughout life for various aspects of life. I've experienced that as a volunteer firefighter and EMT. I've experienced that in the short stories and little snippets of stuff I've written, and even in professional life. In my current job, when I first started, I felt like an imposter until I basically mastered it. Sometimes I feel like an imposter when I'm thrown a situation that is totally off the wall, I've never seen before, until I figure it out. And I think that what we probably are calling imposter syndrome is most likely in the back of our mind, we know we can always be better, but whether it's culture or personality, we've got it twisted. And so instead of striving to be better, it's stopping us in our tracks. And we need to just flip the story on that and not let it stop us in our tracks. And I wasn't necessarily saying that I was struggling with imposter syndrome in my last episode, just that was something to talk about. And I believe Hobbs and some others talked about it on their episodes. Must have been why it was in the back of my mind and sprung forth. And I have done a very good job in not letting imposter syndrome stop me. My regular podcasts, I only took a break from those when all the things going on personally got to be a little overwhelming and I needed to focus on those things for a while. I'm not letting that sort of thing stop me. I may feel it, but I brush it aside and move on, because that self-doubt, there's been too many times in my life I've let that win. So thank you very much for your call in. And for anybody else that is feeling that, don't let it stop you. Brush it aside and move on. And change how you think about it. Think about it as you can always do better. Even the masters who have, quote unquote, mastered their art still practice and still strive to be better than they were because they know they can. That's what I think imposter syndrome is. But don't let it be a mutated form of challenge to rise up to. Don't let it be a wall. Let it be a challenge, an invitation to do better. And now, on to today's episode. As requested by Spike Pitt, this episode of Saturday Scrawl will be my experiences running The Front, the World War II RPG by Mark Hunt, based on Black Hack 1st Edition. I've run the same scenario 3 or 4 times at different conventions, and my scenario is the Kiel Experiment, which is a variation on the movie The Philadelphia Experiment. So instead of the Americans doing a test, it's the Germans doing a test. And there's, for the next couple of weeks, a great G+ page that has a lot of activity and lots of one-shot type scenarios, as well as my scenario, which started as a one-page adventure when Mark put out the call for some adventures. Now, the thing with the Black Hack, the biggest change is to remove die rolling from the Game Master. I suppose in a certain situation, the Game Master could roll dice, but I've never had to. And so players roll their attacks, and if they hit, the target takes whatever the damage happens to be. Players roll to dodge attacks, and because players are rolling to dodge attacks by the NPCs, that's why the Game Master doesn't have to roll any dice. Everything is roll under stats. So to dodge an attack, roll under your dex. To hit, for melee, you roll under your strength. And for range combat, under your dex. There's no skills. Just roll under the best stat to describe something. At Gary Con 11 last weekend, I gave away all the copies of The Front that Mark brought me at the con. I gave away to all the players at the game, and I even gave away my personal copy Sunday night to somebody I struck up a conversation with. So I got home and ordered a new copy from Lulu, and it'll be here soon. Wish I'd have thought to do that while they still had the free shipping and so forth. Anyway, and just for full disclosure, I am credited as a proofreader and help put together the table of contents. So I have a slight bias towards this game, just so you know. I also did a review on my blog back in March of 2016, and I'll include a link to that review in the show notes. So I don't want to repeat that review here. I just want to give you my experience of actually running it, because I believe my review was before, I had even ran the game. First up, The Front is not historically accurate as a recreation of World War II situations. All the weapons are abstracted as categories. So there's pistols, rifles, submachine guns, heavy submachine guns. So you don't have the Colt 1911 45 ACP semi-automatic pistol or the Luger 9mm semi-automatic pistol. You don't have the M1 Garand. You don't have the 50 caliber Browning machine gun. You don't have the Sturmgewehr. It's categories. So it simplifies so you're not bogged down in all the details. So it's just enough rules. So you've got fast and loose play that's focused more on the role-playing elements and the fun. And at the beginning, Mark lists several movies that inspired the game, and I'll just read that list. Kelly's Heroes, which is a heist movie in the middle of a war. The Longest Day, about the D-Day invasion of Normandy. Rat Patrol, the TV series about the desert fight in North Africa. Saving Private Ryan, a more recent movie. The Dirty Dozen, a commando raid. A Bridge Too Far, an objective. Guns of Navarone, an objective by Special Forces. The Big Red One, a World War II film. And Enemy at the Gates. I've not seen Enemy at the Gates, so I can't comment on what that one's about. You have the standard 6 stats, but Wisdom is renamed Awareness. And to create a character, you've got a D20 table of what your profession was before the war. So you can add a little bit of flavor to it. There are four base classes: combat, intelligence, leadership, and reconnaissance. Mark has also done a medic class that I forgot to pack with me when I ran my game for GaryCon. You can get by without it easily, but for a campaign type situation, you'd probably want the medic and any other classes he's got. And of course, each class has its strengths and weaknesses. So combat has a special feature to regain a D8 per hour while in combat. So if you get wounded, you can get back some hit points so you can keep going. The intelligence class rolls with advantage to decipher written communications and has skills in logistics. Recon rolls with advantage when they attack from behind. Leaders roll with advantage for leadership tasks. So that's another thing. They use the advantage-disadvantage where you roll two dice. For advantage, you take the higher of the two, and disadvantage, you take the lower of the two. They also use the usage die for consumables. That's a Black Hack thing. I don't know if Black Hack created that usage die mechanic or if they brought it from somewhere else. But with things like food and ammunition, that can be great fun. So if you've got grenades and you throw a grenade, you then roll to see if that was your last grenade or not. So I believe it's a D6 for grenades. So if you roll a 1 or a 2 on a D6, you drop down to a D4. So you still have grenades. And as long as you don't roll a 1 or a 2 on that D4, you still have grenades. Now, a thought I've had on that is you could go with the full DCC dice chain and allow a D3 after a D4. And for larger things like an installation of a heavy machine gun at a headquarters, you could have a larger die for the usage die. So it might be firing the entire game if you start it with like a D20, trying to roll a 1 or a 2 on a D20. It also has a D8 roll the body table. So if you get knocked down, you could be fine, just knocked out. But you could also be missing in action, killed in action, crippled, or shell-shocked. And then he's got two options for hit points. There's a cinematic option where you're pretty tough, or a gritty option that's a little more realistic as far as if you get hit, that might be the end of it. And then it has an XP table to advance with up to 10 levels possible. And while the default focus of the game is U.S. Army personnel, it can be any branch of the service, not just Army, and any Army in the war. So he has suggestions for resistance fighters like the French Resistance or combat in other theaters of war. And he even has a few notes for weird war scenarios, which is what I did with my scenario, the Kiel experiment. And the fast and loose rules, they make it great for getting started quickly, and any of the slew of World War II era movies can be used to give you ideas. And since the weapons are abstract, you could easily do a World War I, Korean War, Vietnam, or even modern war. It's actually simple enough. You could do any period in time, from muskets to laser blasters. Now, personally, I like not having to roll the dice, especially because it's not my fault when a character gets killed. It's they didn't roll good. Also, a one-shot scenario to con, since one often expects to die, as long as it's a glorious death, most usually don't mind. So I'm not as worried about rolling dice that go bad for the player. Now, I've never played a straight Black Hack game, only the front. I do have Black Hack 1st and 2nd edition, but it shouldn't be much different in Black Hack except for the spells and the magic instead of bullets and grenades. And if you want a more realistic role-playing game with a World War II theme, Pete Spahn has Operation White Box based on Swords and Wizardry, and I'll link that in the show notes. Now, as far as my experience with play, I had the players roll up their own characters and pick their classes. I printed off for each character, I printed off for each player the four different classes so that they could see what they are. There's only 2 pages in the book per class, so it's quite simple. And then I printed off possible equipment and explanation of some things. So we had characters up and running in just a few minutes. And then I presented the scenario and we played the scenario. And it's not a lot of dice rolling. Unless there's somebody shooting at you, you don't have to roll to dodge. Unless you're shooting or trying to fight someone, you don't have to roll to fight. It was usually a lot of, well, what are you going to do? Okay. And I had an extra mechanic that I invented for the Weird War scenario that I'm not going to give that away because that's a lot of fun. Playing with Mark was a blast. If you ever get a chance to play with Mark, do it. You spend more time laughing than you do anything else. He's a fun guy. So I wasn't too bogged down in it. I didn't need as many notes as one might think. I've run this with, well, the first time I ran it was at UConn in Ypsilanti a couple years ago, and the flu was hitting a lot of game masters, so a lot of games got canceled last minute. So I had 10 or 12 people at my table because I was inviting people whose games were canceled to join in. And that was the first time I ran it with a very full table, and we had a blast with it. And it worked well. People didn't need to know details of the rules because of how simple it is. They just said, okay, roll under your decks to shoot that guy. Roll under your decks to dodge them shooting back at you. And the nice thing about not having to keep track of rolling dice myself is I can be focused on keeping the flow going. I felt it move faster and easier. I'm not sure that's a style of play I'd want to do all the time, but having only run it at cons, I'm not sure that's necessarily accurate either. Sometimes you want just a little bit more or a little different. It wouldn't be hard to, as simple as the rules are, to throw in more details and more stuff with it. If you want a more quote unquote realistic game, you might not want to do Black Hack unless you came up with a way to hack the realism so that it fits in the Black Hack. So if you like simple and you want to get up and running quickly, you'll like something like this. Since it doesn't have all the spells you've got to worry about, it's very minimal. It's just the different weapon types and what they do. He also has explanations for flamethrowers and a little bit on like tanks and planes. And he, at some point, has plans for a second edition that'll have vehicles and so forth in it for more detail. But right now he's working on Gangbusters. So I hope that answered your question there, Spike Pit. If there's something specific I didn't touch on that you really wanted to have me get into, let me know. But I find, because the book is 100 pages or less, since I don't have my book, I can't flip to the pages and see what the page count is. But it's not very big, and there's not a lot to it. And it would be great for people that aren't sure about role-playing games to get it up and running quickly so that they can get a taste for what it is. If they're really worried about having too much to know and understand. And again, there's tons of different hacks to Black Hack for any genre you care to name. I had some ideas for a hack and somebody basically touched on my genre. People were cranking out Black Hack hacks so fast. It's like every time I had an idea for one, I couldn't get it out fast enough. I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to bother because everybody is doing it. As soon as I get the idea, it seems like they're putting it out there. So great minds think alike, I guess. So anyway, I would recommend giving it a try. You'll really like it. You can get it on DriveThruRPG for the PDF. And if you want it in hard copy, you can get it on Lulu. And I'll link all that in the show notes. And for anybody else that has any specific questions about the front and so forth, let me know. I can't give you specifics about running Black Hack. As I mentioned, I have not run a straight Black Hack game. That will be sometime in my future. So thank you all very much for listening. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And of course, game on.
And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the many other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of role-playing games and other games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting out the word is important. Consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on my next PDF, published on DriveThruRPG. Please check out my RPG-related PDFs. I'm working on a card game that I hope to kickstart in the first quarter of 2020. You can find the sign-up for the announcement mailing list on my blog. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!